Now we're going to talk a little bit about the internal call at greater length than the external call, because after all, we're dealing here with the doctrine of salvation, being saved. By the internal, effectual call, we mean that act of divine power mediated through the proclaimed word, by which the Spirit raises spiritually dead sinners to life, illumines darkened minds, softens stubborn wills, and inclines contrary affections toward the living God, thus leading the unregenerate to trust Christ alone in a saving relationship. Anybody want me to repeat that?
Please.
Okay. By the internal effectual call, we mean that act of divine power mediated through the proclaimed word, by which the Spirit raises spiritually dead sinners to life, illumines darkened minds, softens stubborn wills, and inclines contrary affections toward the living God, thus leading the unregenerate to trust Christ in a saving relationship. Now, through this effectual calling, man is not dehumanized. It's not just an act foisted upon him, but his whole personality is freed and energized to enable him to live a new and sanctified life. Effectual call is a powerful, changing thing. Old inabilities are abolished and new abilities to love and serve God are given. Blinding effects of sin on our mind are removed, so that our intellect no longer leads us astray so readily, quickly, but is recreated to be a more trustworthy instrument for apprehending truth. So in the effectual calling, our mind, our heart, and our will are regenerated to true holiness. Now there is, of course, a mystery in this experience. We know what it is to hear God addressing us powerfully and personally through some passage in the Bible or some sermon that we hear. And what do? We turn around, don't we? And we try to share that with someone else. And we discover that it doesn't speak to that person the way it speaks to us. We can't explain this mystery. We can't explain why God has spoken so clearly to us and not to others. We only know that in His sovereign wisdom, He has done this. And so you get two people sitting side by side, even a husband and wife. God comes under a particular sermon, calls irresistibly the husband or the wife. And the whole nature of the relationship of the husband and wife changes, needs to be readjusted. Husband can become jealous of his wife because her life has changed and suddenly she becomes so much more godly. Or he can be very supportive and be jealous of her. And I've seen people react in a very upset way, and others act in a jealous way, and other marriages get strangely closer. But whatever happens, you see, when a man or woman is called by God effectually, their life changes. When their life changes, things change around them too. Sometimes the effects of that are more sudden, sometimes more gradual. You have to leave freedom for the Spirit here. But we do know that there's a real difference, and that real difference will show itself. Effectual calling is effectual. It is effectual because in it and by it, God raises dead souls to spiritual life. So this calling is a divine, inward, secret operation on the soul that will bear fruit in the life. It turns a heart of stone into a heart of flesh. Let me say a word here about that expression of Ezekiel, because That's really a positive reference, isn't it, to the word flesh. And we often think of the flesh negatively. In the Bible, flesh usually refers to our fallen nature, which stands in contrast with and opposition to the Holy Spirit. Here, however, flesh is not contrasted with spirit, but with a stone. The same point is in view in calling the new birth a transformation from death to life. You see, apart from the grace of calling and regeneration, a person's heart or soul is like a stone with respect to the things of God. It's unfeeling, it's unresponsive. It's morally hard. It's a heart of darkness. But in regeneration, or in calling a regeneration, God changes that heart from something cold and lifeless and stony to something living and pulsating and responsive. The heart is made alive to the things of God. And so God takes away the heart of stone and gives a living flesh, pulsating. Calvin quotes Augustine here as saying, "This grace which is secretly imparted to the hearts of men is not received by any hard heart, for the reason for which it is given is that the hardness of the heart may first be taken away. Hence, when the Father is heard within, he takes away the stony heart and gives a heart of flesh. Thus he makes them sons of promise and vessels of mercy, which he has prepared to glory." Now, looking at it from this point of view, there are at least three important things we need to say about the nature of the internal call. The first is that those upon whom this call comes are called by God the Father. The source of the invitation to become Christians lies in the Father. We've seen that already. Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draw him." And that's why it's denominated effectual or irresistible call. The term "draw" here actually bears the root mean of to drag. To drag. Now, that's not to say that when God calls, he drags an unwilling sinner to Christ. It is slander to say that man comes kicking against his will into heaven, as some people accuse Calvinists of saying. Rather, however, God's call makes that sinner willing. And that root meaning of drag here, or rightly translated draw, because that's really the more accurate image, emphasizes the irresistibility in that power of God bringing a sinner to salvation, making that sinner willing. A superior power conquers an inferior power. God conquers us and makes us willing, submissive, to follow him. So the call is irresistible. The call of God the Father, the internal call, because that call is as almighty as God himself is. The effectual call is similar to the call which created the universe in the beginning. God quickeneth the dead, Romans 4:17, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Even creation language. Or again, not only Romans 4:17, but also 2 Corinthians 4:6. "For God who commanded, you see, the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." That's recreation. I'm going to say a strong statement, but I believe this. You can say this, that no, just as light, when it came into the world, could not resist the Lord saying, "Let there be light," so a sinner was conquered by the light of the gospel, cannot not respond to the gospel. It's an irresistible call. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you." How? "Out of darkness into his marvelous light." Well, this has, of course, tremendous practical relevance. It implies, doesn't it, that the Father lovingly yet compellingly invites sinners to himself. When we take these texts seriously, We will be delivered from a deep-seated suspicion of God that continues to haunt many people, even some Christians. And that suspicion is that the gospel is a kind of a, well, presented as a kind of presentation that comes only to certain people, and that God is somehow a stingy God, unwilling to give out salvation, rather grudgingly saves people, only because of some demands of his Son, as if the Father is somehow more unwilling to save sinners than the Son. But the verses I've given you, and the verses I'm about to give you, indicate that God, as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is the great inviter. He loves us. He calls us. He saves us, as surely does the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me give you some texts. Romans 1, 6 and 7. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2 and 24. And Hebrews 9, verse 15. And Jude 1, verse 1. Perhaps when you were young, you knew what it was like to have your mother call you in at the end of the day after you were playing for a while outside for supper. Or then you knew what it was like to have your father call you. And, if our father got out there and called us, we knew he meant real business. And we could face his wrath, you see, because we perhaps hadn't been coming under our mother's call. And there's in some of the back of our minds, perhaps, there's an image also in our own experience of a father calling that symbolizes this distorted view too, that one of kind of wrath and anger. But God summons us as Father with an open-armed embrace. You know, I just love that picture of the prodigal son coming back, and the father knowing that he shouldn't be running to his son. It abandons every etiquette of the day. But he sees his son, and he can't refrain himself. And that old man strains every muscle. He runs as fast as he can, throws his arms around his son with arms of mercy, kisses him. The Greek is, again, goes on kissing him with lips of mercy. Tears of mercy fall upon his son's shoulders and his face and his neck. And he embraces him with all his stench and all his wretchedness. That's a picture of the Father. That's what the Father is like. That's what Jesus said he's like. And Jesus said that especially to Pharisees, who were so proper to follow the etiquette. You see, God is willing. God delights to save sinners. God is in the business of saving sinners. Luke 15:2 says, "This man received a sinner," speaking of Jesus, "and we can say of our God, this God receiveth sinners." God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9. God is faithful, by whom ye are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We'll move down to D2. Called by Jesus Christ. Called by Jesus Christ. Well, the effectual call is God's living voice in and through Jesus Christ. Just as the call in creation is in Christ Jesus and through him, the New Testament says, so we may argue that the call in recreation is in Jesus Christ and through him. And for that reason, both the Scriptures and our confessions can say that the subject of the calling is Christ himself. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. John 10:27. And in the Heidelberg Catechism, question 54 says that the Son of God gathers the elect. So God's call is a demonstration of his mighty power in his Son. And in that sense, divine authority flows out of this call, as Paul tells us in Romans 8, verse 30. As Peter says in 1 Peter 2, 9, we are called out of darkness into light. We are delivered from the kingdom and reign of the powers of darkness, Colossians 1, 13. We are called from death unto life, The spiritually dead hear the voice of the Son of God, John 5, verse 25. Now the paradox here is obvious, isn't it? How can dead men hear? But the point is that Christ is so powerful that he who calls them creates in them the ability to respond. So in the very act of his calling, he brings sinners into new life. Perhaps the best illustration of that is Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. That's a symbol of what he does when he calls sinners from spiritual death. How could Lazarus hear his voice? He's a dead man. But we are like Lazarus spiritually. We're bound and dead, but we are called out of bondage and we're called into freedom. Paul says, formerly we were slaves of sin, Ephesians 2:3. But now Christ has set us free for his service. The Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. John 8:36. And Paul actually says in Galatians 5:13, ye, my brethren, were called to be free. Won't that be a wonderful sermon? Called to be free. But thirdly, we are also called by word and spirit. Word and spirit. God's call is made effectual by the Spirit taking the word and bringing it home to the heart. Now, it's important to understand here that word and spirit are always conjoined. The Holy Spirit is not working apart from the word or against the word, but with the word. Nor is the word working alone without the presence and power of the Spirit. Hearing the gospel enlightens the mind, but does not awaken the soul until the Spirit calls, illumines, regenerates. So the move from the ear to the soul is made by the Holy Spirit. And that move is what accomplishes God's purpose of applying the benefits of Christ to the elect. So the internal call then is a secret operation of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? The Spirit of Christ in the heart of the elect sinner, making the preached word effectual to that sinner's coming to Christ in faith. And because this word is involved in this way, the external aspect of calling by the gospel is an essential part of God's saving call. And the flip side of that is, of course, that these two aspects are inseparable. Also concerning the reprobate, because God withholds from them the internal call. Now it's wonderful to notice how the Westminster Confession of Faith picks up on this word-spirit combination when it deals with the effectual call. In fact, it devotes an entire chapter to the effectual call, which is fascinating in itself. Here's what it says. All those whom God has predestined unto life, and those only, he is pleased in his appointed and accepted time effectually to call by his word and spirit. It's right in the foreground. Out of that state of sin and death, in which they are by nature to grace and salvation, by Jesus Christ, enlightening their minds spiritually and savingly to understand the things of God, taking away the heart of stone, giving them a heart of flesh, renewing their wills, and by His almighty power, determining them to that which is good, and effectually drawing them to Jesus Christ. Yet so, as they come most freely, being made willing by His grace. Well, there you have it. In one paragraph, the Trinity, you've got the made willing, you've got Word conjoined with Spirit. Westminster Confession speaks of the Spirit's renewing the will and of determining it to what is good by His almighty power. The effectual call involves the omnipotence of God, therefore. The same power that called the world into existence calls the sinner into spiritual life. So as God calls the world into being out of nothing, so He calls us to saving faith out of, quote, nothing, calling us who have no spiritual virtue whatsoever. Now, when we are called from darkness to light, And we come to spiritual life, or regenerated. We come to know the great and the holy God. And we come to know our own sinfulness. And that combination yields a casting of ourselves upon Christ, to find forgiveness in Christ alone, and to be overwhelmed with the love of God.